And many more with Dr. Maurice Dodonu. He's back with me. Doc, you're most welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you. You must be tired.
Well.
Yeah, I know you went up to the OT region and you've done how many surgeries?
We did about 132.
132 different surgeries. Just tell my listeners a bit about that. I saw the list you sent me from what? Myomectomies to what? To hernias?
To hernias, to thyroidectomies. We managed some emergencies. Some cesarean sessions even came up.
And you left, hang on, you left not long after we did the show last week.
Yes, yes.
And you still, by road, you're back after 132 surgeries.
Yeah, goes with the terrain.
Wow. Cutting, snipping, whatever. Surgeries.
Surgeries, yes. All surgeries.
Wow.
Lumps and bumps, you know, lipomas, sebaceous.
God just bless you. Because when I saw you, waiting for us to enter the studio, you looked tired. Oh, and wow. By road, in and out.
In and out, yes.
Tell me you're not on duty tomorrow.
Well, I'm on duty now.
Wow.
But because of how important the the topic is,
we are deeply, immensely grateful to you.
Yeah,
for making the time, right? But 132 surgeries. So this is alongside colleagues, and this is just you.
No. Just this is not just me. There are so many of us actually.
So this is a team that has moved.
Yes,
to the OT region.
Yes, this year. There's a 66th conference of the West African College of Surgeons.
Okay.
It's a graduation ceremony for the new specialists.
Okay.
Senior specialists that have graduated from the college.
Okay.
It's usually organized every year.
Okay.
But it varies from country to country.
Mm-hmm.
So this year it's an Anglophone country and we are hosting the program. Next year to be a Francophone country.
Right.
Yes, so as part of the program, the week before the conference starts,
mm-hmm.
Consultants from all over the world, all over Africa, right. West Africa, come to Ghana. And as part of the program, they are dispatched to deprived areas where some of these surgeries, diseases needing surgeries are to be performed.
Right.
And so we're spread all over, I think, Central Region, Volta Region, some parts of our Greater Accra Region.
Okay.
And we I think in all, we did over 800 surgeries. Yes.
Deprived areas. Does that also mean that the conditions under which you operate are also somewhat constrained?
Yes.
Wow.
Indeed, they are. They are. But they try. The various municipal hospitals, regional district hospitals come together. And I must say a big thank you to district medical superintendents of the various district and regional
DHMTs
hospitals
and all those.
Yeah, they've been amazing. They helped us so much. They fed us.
They helped
and
you
in
to
fact,
help them.
To help them. And the nurses, we didn't go with nurses.
Wow.
We all only surgeons went. And the nurses at the host hospital rallied around, got instruments. Some hospitals had to even import beds and anesthetic machines from various hospitals.
And why I'm so deeply touched and I'm spending some minutes of today's program to talk about this? Because many years ago, I remember when we lost the three urologists.
Yes.
They traveled to work and they were coming back. We lost them in a tragic road traffic accident.
Yeah.
Dr. Bensi, I've forgotten the other names.
Kwate.
Kwate.
Professor Kwate.
I know Dr. Kluffio survived.
Yeah, Dr. Kluffio
survived. But, yeah. I mean, people cannot imagine.
Yeah.
Right, they just know that doctor is okay, fine, and they are paid well, so we think, and they do this, they do that. But, and you're here in the studio, in the chair, folks, his eyes are red, he is tired, right? And this is a big man, right? God bless you, Doc.
God bless you, too.
Okay, so last week,
and
God bless those who received these, let me call them life-changing surgeries and these deprived areas. One of these days, we'll talk about these things as well.
Yes.
Okay, so folks, if you just joined us 15 minutes past the hour of 2 on Joy 99.7 FM, my name is Note by Nature. Please, I'm also here for the cause, but Charlie, these things make me so humble, so humble, right? Even these ones, some do not have access. We'll talk about that. Okay, so we're talking about the bentwa, you know, the bulb syringe, the bulb enema, this whole practice of introducing fluids down under for a purpose. From what we heard from Doc, there are many different reasons why you might be doing this, to dislodge packed or compacted fecal matter and so many other things, to purge, to cleanse. We learned all about that last week, so you should be in class with a lot of good knowledge, right? Doc, we didn't get to talk about complications. Well, we mentioned some of the perforations and other things, but how can this go wrong, maybe critically and seriously wrong, this whole process?
All right. So, because of the concoctions that we offer at home, you know, especially with our mothers, it's like a drop down from what their mothers also taught them. Okay. Generations.
So handed down.
It's handed down, sort of. And there is really no
training.
Should I say formulary?
Okay.
In the preparations.
Okay.
Some may add ginger because from their experience, ginger was able to do it the last time. Some may add pepper.
Right.
You know, some may add all kinds of concoctions. And that's because there is really no value in terms of the quantity. You may overdo it.
So you are doing what you think you heard or saw. And then you augment it or add
other things.
What you think you should be adding.
So, I mean, sadly, a few have added corrosives. You know, the last time we talked about soap.
Yes.
It has to be in a certain concentration. I mean, because they are usually basic.
Some are harsh.
They are very harsh.
Toxic.
Toxic. You know, so acidic
and
content. Corrosive content. And those are things that some people add to it because they envisage them to be harsher to perform the functions they expect them to perform.
The more irritation.
More irritation. The more you feel you probably have done something significant.
Cleared something.
Exactly.
But you may be causing more harm.
You may be causing more harm. So that's the first example I need to caution us of.
Right.
Because if you were you watched the last time we talked about, I said water. I was very emphatic about using just ordinary water. And this is not contaminated water. It's water you can actually drink.
Yes.
It's your body you are dealing with. So you should apply things to it that are clean.
Okay.
Yes, because you think it's probably going down there, you may think that you could just use any water.
You can use anything because it's the anal passage.
No.
It's for waste anyway.
It's waste anyway.
But you need
use clean water. And I even mentioned that salt to taste.
Yes.
So it means this water should be enough for you to put in your mouth to taste that.
Taste.
It's just enough salt to be administered.
Right.
So that's the first thing.
Okay.
The other thing is the fact that
summarize that. So the water must be clean. The contents or the formula that you are introducing must not be harsh, toxic, and all those things, right?
Yes.
So that's one form of complication, or maybe, should I say,
You know, I'll mention the complication and just give you a bit of caution so that it doesn't seem like we are all doom and gloom per se. The second thing is dehydration. You know, sometimes you cause diarrhea in the process.
Okay.
By inducing it, you are inducing motility of the gut. So you might lose a lot of water. I earlier mentioned that the 150 centimeters of the colon has a very effective function of absorbing water.
Right.
So if you induce gut motility, deprive
you cause
that function.
The loss of fluids.
So especially in the elderly and in the very young, the blood volume is not extensive. It's not very it's not so much. So you can easily push them into some form of dehydration.
Right.
So you must encourage a lot more drinking during the process.
Okay.
You know, so once you have been purged or you are planning on doing it yourself, you drink a lot of water to enable the cleaning.
Right, Doc. Let's clarify this for my listeners. And listeners, if you just joined us, we're with Dr. Maurice Dodonu, physician specialist, fellow in training, surgeon with the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, with the College of Physicians here in West Africa, and also a lecturer with the University of Ghana Medical School Department of Surgery. We're looking at the medical science behind the bulb enema, the Bentwa. And we went through the process, the preparation, the administration, and the mechanisms by which it achieves what we expect it to achieve, right? Today, we're talking a bit more about the complications, and he's sharing with us some of these concerns. Any questions, testimonies, experiences you may want to share? Somebody shared with me last week that her grandmother would change the nozzle of the syringe, the Bentwa, and use the casing of a Bic pen. A Bic pen, and that one was also something she recalls with a great deal of trepidation and trauma, that her grandmother would use as the nozzle the Bic pen, the transparent casing of the Bic pen.
That's probably a case of PTSD.
What? What? Okay, you may share yours. WhatsApp is 055-11-11-997. Shortly, I'll activate the phone lines. But yes, we need to understand what is being done, why and how and by whom. And of course, what it's supposed to achieve and the dangers of this. This is what we're talking about with Dr. Dodonu. We're hoping at the tail end of this program, we'll talk about another phenomenon called acute abdomen. That's a whole area. So stick and stay with us. This is Ultimate Health on Joy 99.7 FM with me, Naughty by Nature.
Joy.
Okay, so let's get into it again. So yes, those concerns are there. And then you're saying that, well, the process and that whole tract that we're dealing with is very sensitive and very capable of absorbing and controlling fluid levels.
Yeah.
If you trigger it to do its work too, should I say, eagerly, then there may be excess fluid loss, and you may tip the person or the victim or the patient into dehydration.
Yes.
Doc, when we say you are dehydrated, it means you have less fluid than your body requires.
Yes.
Okay.
We can grade them in various ways.
Okay.
But basically, it's the person has lost so much fluid than they really should have.
Okay.
And the kidney, the skin, the respiratory tract, they have a way of balancing how much fluid your body, you know, has,
okay,
including your gut.
Right.
Okay, so depending on how much fluid you have or you've lost, your body adjusts itself to be able to maintain that,
okay,
volume. So in a situation where you cause intestinal hurry, mm-hmm, by the use of the enema.
And this is indeed caused by you. It's,
yes,
not that the intestine or the system was going to do this.
No, you can have diarrhea,
right,
from a different
okay,
situation.
But here you have caused
you
it.
You have induced,
right,
it.
And you might have done that in excess.
In excess,
tipping,
yes,
the person into the
into dehydration.
Okay, right.
So by that, if the person is conscious enough, mm-hmm, you can just ask the person to drink water. But if the person is becoming a little lethargic, weak, and all that, then you have to rush the person to the hospital.
Okay.
So that, you know, another alternative route can be used to
administer. Okay, so let me grab that nugget there, Doc. So dehydration itself is a medical emergency depending on the degree.
Yes.
You can be so dehydrated that now you can be agitated, your consciousness or your state of mind is also affected.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you said just right now that if the person is conscious, then, of course, they can be encouraged to take
to
in fluids.
In some water,
but
yes,
if they are slipping in consciousness, then you need to rush them.
Yes, you need to send them to a hospital.
Wow.
Quickly.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So dehydration is another concern.
Yes.
Okay.
99.7 FM.
I think I alluded to it the last week that,
mm-hmm,
because our children are usually at the receiving end of this, mm-hmm, particular practice,
mm-hmm,
they don't understand what you want to do for them.
Okay.
And some of them may struggle with you in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So by this struggle, you can cause some form of trauma to the,
okay,
anal mucosa and then the rectal mucosa.
The child may not be aware of what the process is. Maybe frightened, anxious,
struggling with you,
struggling
and even trying to avoid it.
Right. Okay.
But you know, it's like it's a tube. It's
right.
An the bulb and the nozzle. So you can, by forcing it,
mm-hmm,
you know, by forcing it down there, you might traumatize even the skin around there, okay, including the in our veg,
okay,
as we discussed right last time. So the trauma is a big part of this problem.
Okay.
Sharing of instruments. Mm-hmm. You know, we discussed it briefly last right time as well, but I need to make mention of it again. It is not prudent at all to share instruments. There are, because you are dealing with body fluids, you can.
So in this instance, you're sharing the syringe amongst different
recipients
of
yes
the enema. Okay.
Enema, yes.
Right.
So everybody should have their own.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a practice in hospitals. We don't give enemas to patients in the hospital.
Okay.
For which to say that we are going to be recycling them for okay each. No, we right don't. Anybody who needs enema is usually made to buy the fleets, the commercially available one.
Okay.
And once it is used,
it is disposed of, discarded.
Yeah.
So folks, you should not be using these in series or serially, right? Amongst multiple recipients, patients, siblings, offspring, or victims. Okay.
Yes.
This is serious because now infection control is a serious thing.
Yes, yes.
You may be introducing contaminants across board.
Indeed.
Okay.
HIV.
Right.
Human papilloma yes virus. We discussed yes that somebody may have genital warts you don't know.
Okay.
And then you may transmit it.
Okay.
Even hepatitis B.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
Can be transmitted. It's not been.
And essentially,
proven.
You're dealing with what potentially could be a skin piercing instrument,
exactly.
So yes, in the hands of the wrong person, you might even see the blood and say, it's working.
Right?
So folks, this is a serious consideration, complication that we're talking about with Dr. Maurice Dodono. We're talking about the medical science behind the bulb enema, Bentoa, the syringe, okay? Yeah, you probably, if you've had it, you do share with us, eh? Okay, do share with us. And I got some interesting anecdotes from many people after last week's program, right? But these are concerns, and you should be aware. And if you are seeing any of these, so if there's blood, if there's any sign of trauma from the child or the recipient, this is something you need to be wary of and take action.
Yes.
Okay.
So simply now a process like colonoscopy we discussed the last time is readily available, mm-hmm, both for pediatrics and then for adults.
Okay.
So should you see that, at least it will be precautionary to actually have a specialist, a pediatric gastroenterologist or pediatric surgeon.
Okay.
Have a look. It's a very short procedure.
Okay.
Have a look at the rectum.
Right.
And be sure that there's no problem. Perforation at that early stage may sometimes be difficult to see.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But I mean, at least just let the hospital know that a situation like this occurred, and so that the child is monitored and observed.
Doc, instances and presentations like this, you know, would they typically tell the truth? Oh, na me man enema, na me sa, right? Would they? That history is important, right?
Well, yes, it is. I mean,
if they come and they say, "Well, I want you to check my child's rectum or whatever."
Well, it's us.
All
we,
right,
the physicians, should
must
be
take the history,
accommodating,
right,
and not be judgmental, because it's very important.
Okay.
You know, you are dealing with children, and if you create an environment where it is difficult for a mother or a father to tell you what you need to know about what has
right
happened to the child, then that's really unfortunate.
Okay.
So we are, I mean, it's part of our training. We are supposed to be very receptive.
Okay.
I mean, our patients, by dint of what is going on with them, are right usually, if I should use the word, vulnerable.
Okay.
You see, so you, the physician, should be magnanimous,
right,
and be very nice
and
in receiving patients for whatever reason
right
they are coming to you for.
Okay, the physician should communicate in a way that elicits the information that is needed.
Needed, exactly.
Right? Don't
yeah
cause the patient to recede and withdraw. Or maybe even lie.
Exactly.
Or withhold information,
right? Yes.
And I do know that in their training, they're taught all of these things, but some things do go wrong, or some may adopt a manner that is not exactly positive for what we are talking about. Okay, you're listening to all this on Joy 99.7 FM. The program is Ultimate Health, your ultimate guide to healthy living with me, Norte by Nature. We started February down under, behind, below. We're talking about the medical science behind the bulb enema, Bentua. If you have any questions, concerns, WhatsApp is 055-11-11-997. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, and X. This one says, blessed Sunday to you, Norte by Nature. Indeed, love is the message, and the message is love. You have really brought back beautiful memories back in the 90s. Please ask doctor, what causes a blockage in the anus to make surgeons like himself operate on a patient to ease himself through another channel in the body? So that's some kind of rectal bypass. But I saw a patient like that in the past, easing himself through the side of his stomach. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Something like that really scared me at the time. This is Prosper from Dakuman, Accra. Good health with Norte.
Well, let me try and answer that.
Yeah.
Yes, there are a few conditions that can make us divert.
Okay.
We divert the bowel.
Okay.
The major one is usually cancer of the rectum.
Okay.
Cancer of the rectum, or some cancer of the, not so much with the other parts of the colon, but the main thing is cancer of the rectum. A lot of the times, the cancer grows so big that it actually occludes the lumen.
Right.
And as part of the treatment options, we are able to divert that, the passage of stool, for the time being.
Okay.
Whilst the person receives what we call neoadjuvant treatment.
Okay.
So that, because of the sheer size of that tumor, it's almost impossible to take that tumor out.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So in order to make it a bit more acceptable to take out, actually, the best methods of management usually is to offer them neoadjuvant chemo radiation.
Right.
What it means is, the person before the surgery gets some form of medical treatment,
right,
or radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And then that sort of shrinks the tumor,
right,
to allow us to go for that surgery.
But in the meantime, you've diverted the passage.
So that the person can eat,
right,
and still maintain good health.
Okay.
Okay.
Which is also important.
Which is very important.
Okay.
Because even you need that good health to undergo the new adjuvant treatment.
Yes.
Uh-huh. The second thing that sometimes we do is when the person suffers trauma of the pelvis,
okay,
for whatever reason,
okay,
an accident, major accident involving the pelvis and the organs there, and you know, there's the whole place is a bit of a mess, and you want to quickly divert the fecal matter from,
right,
soiling that place. There are times we go into the abdomen too, and the person is so ill.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bowel perforation,
okay,
the perforation of any part of the intestine, and there's so much contamination in the abdomen that if you try to correct or repair anything in there, you might not get the patient back.
Okay.
So we would divert that, so that at least we keep the abdomen quiet and
right,
clean, so that we can go in another time.
Gosh.
Yeah. So those are all examples. There are so many others.
I admire you, but I don't envy you. The kind of things you must see and have to repair, and folks.
Oh, don't the listeners shouldn't be overwhelmed, because we've really been trained for all these
exactly
things.
Exactly. Uh-huh. That's what the training is for.
Yes.
But you know, I must salute, you know, and all professionals are doing something that the average person cannot do.
Yes.
Right. But
yes,
that respect, that regard, you know, for what you do, and you know, what you endure in order to do it, is not a joke, folks. 33 minutes past the hour of 2 on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is simply Norte by Nature. I don't do the stuff he does, okay? But there's a reason I brought him into the studio, to inform and transform you. If you have any questions, concerns, WhatsApp is 055-11-11-997. Thanks, Prosper, for sharing that about diversion of the digestive and other tracts, okay? He's not Dr. Morrison. He is Dr. Maurice Dudonu, okay? So he's not Morrison. Please kindly ask Doc, at what stage will you need colonoscopy? Let me scroll. Where am I? Let me scroll. Is there more of this? Yes, there is. I understand by 50 years you should have a colonoscopy by 50 years, but our doctors in Ghana do not add it to our yearly screening. I've done it 4 years ago and I'm now 69 years of age. I'm also afraid of perforation. This is from Ajua K.
Okay.
At what age will you need a colonoscopy? She brings in a mandatory colonoscopy around age 50. Share with us, doctor.
It's now 45, actually. It's a screening program that has been instituted in Europe and US, the United States. Yes, okay. It's supposed to be part of it, but
colonoscopy is an imaging of
Is the one I discussed. We pass a fiber optic tube through your colon to look inside the mucosa of your colon.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to maybe educate me. Imaging in the sense that you are looking into the colon.
But when you use the word imaging,
it's almost as if you're taking a
doing
picture.
X-ray. It's also a form of imaging, I get.
Yes.
But colonoscopy is that direct visualization of the colon. Now, if we know that for a cancer of the colon to develop, it usually starts as a polyp.
Okay.
And between a polyp and obvious cancer, it takes about 10 to 15 years. Really.
Okay.
So most definitely, if you did the screening, you are most likely going to rid your community or your society of colon, of colon cancer.
All right.
So in that wisdom, in Europe and the Americas, developed nations, they tend to perform this routinely. And of course, it depends on how many people have suffered the disease.
Okay.
We haven't instituted it in Ghana because maybe we don't have the data to suggest that there are a lot of people who suffer this disease.
Okay.
But for us, what we tend to do is, should you have any complaint, if you are about 40 years and you have any complaint from the rectum, especially with the bleeding from the rectum, from the anus, which is a very common occurrence in these parts, everybody gets a colonoscopy. I mean, even if we don't go all the way.
Doc, is it expensive?
No, it's not.
What is the hindrance or the deterrent? Why are we not doing it? Or why haven't we adopted this routine screening on the age basis that is
First of all, we need the expertise.
Okay.
Not everybody can show that imaging into your anus. We must be well trained.
All right.
We are not so many of us doing this thing very effectively and perfectly.
Okay.
She complained about perforation. Yes,
right. She's afraid of it.
It's a well-known risk.
Okay.
Even for the experienced hands.
Okay.
You know, so we want to be careful that you have the well-trained personnel.
Okay.
And the setup for doing this is not, it doesn't come cheap.
Okay.
Yeah, it's also, expensive.
Right. I love my listeners to understand some of these dynamics.
Yes,
okay. Yeah. So that it doesn't seem like, we're not doing what they're doing out there. We really need a setup. You need the training. You need the personnel. And everything to protect everybody, including the personnel. All right. 38 minutes past the hour, 2 on Joint 99.7 FM. We're whizzing. We are still down under. Wrapping up on the Bentua files, as I've chosen to call them, okay? If you have any questions, concerns, I'm going to activate my phone line, 030-221-6541. 030-221-6541. We're still wrapping up on Bentua, the Bentua files, the medical science behind it, okay? We're not just mucking around, so to speak, with Dr. Maurice Dodonu. We do hope we'll get to tiptoe into acute abdomen as well. So the phone line 030-221-6541 is active. We're live on Facebook and YouTube. My name is Note by Nature, and his name is Dr. Maurice Dodonu, right? And those of you who've been worrying him, he's a very, very, very reserved doctor, but he does a lot of hard work. Somebody wanted your number last week. I've resisted and maybe in many ways refused. But if somebody wants to see you or somebody of your like qualification, how do they go about? Do you just walk into Kolebu and say you want to see a surgeon?
No.
Okay.
You know, the afflictions of the anus are quite enormous.
Okay.
At least a lot of us, through medical school...
Doc, let me just take this call and then I'll let you respond to that.
All right.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Right. Who am I speaking to and where are you calling from?
My name is Prince. I'm speaking from Adenta.
Prince from Adenta. Shoot. And speak up a bit, okay?
Okay.
And lower the volume on your set. I'm getting a little feedback from you, okay? Shoot.
Please, I've done that.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Please, I have a question about the Bentua use. Recently, we use some, but when you use it, the water doesn't come out.
Water doesn't come out of the Bentua.
No, when we...
Oh, you in the result of the enema. Yeah, go ahead.
The problem is I'm a nurse of a particular patient. He has problem with constipation. So normally what we do is we have to use the Bentua to be able to force it out. But sometimes when we use it, it doesn't come out. The water doesn't come out.
Okay. So you are a nurse, and what is your specific question you want to ask Dr. Dodonu?
Okay. So I wanted to ask the reason. I want to know the reason why it's not coming out.
Okay. All right. Doc, do you have enough information to proceed?
How long does he wait to expect the water to come out? Because really, when you... When you administer the enema, you want to... it's not water you expect to come out.
Right.
You want fecal matter out.
Okay.
Or whatever you think is blocking the place to come out. So fecal matter. So the water goes in to soften the stool.
Okay.
So that feces would come out. Is that what he gets?
Okay.
I want
He's
to know
He's saying water
that.
Is not coming out.
Okay. The water shouldn't come out. It's
right.
fine.
Okay. Right. Let me just see. Hello. Are you still on the line?
Hello, yes.
Is this still the nurse or another caller?
No, I'm the patient. Can I explain?
Oh, the patient is also on the line. Okay,
yes.
Right, okay. Please hang on. Slow down. So you are the patient, right?
Yes.
What are you being treated for, first and foremost?
My problem is that I have constipation. And sometimes when I take the toilet cannot come out.
So let me ask you, is this a long-standing problem or it just happened?
Yes.
It sounds like it's been there for a while, or?
Yes, in fact, I don't know whether I understand it is part of a stroke condition.
Huh.
I don't know how far.
Okay, so let me structure this a bit. So how old are you?
I am 70.
You are 70. And how long ago did you have a stroke?
Oh, that is about 10 years.
Okay, right. So as part of your care and as part of the downstream, you have issues with constipation?
Yes.
Okay, right. Doc, is there anything else you would want to ask?
I would suggest he comes to see us.
All right.
Yes, if it's not coming.
Slow down on the line. Listen to the doctor first. Okay.
Yeah, so, the enema administration is fine. Sometimes we actually combine a number of purgatives.
Okay.
Some, like we discussed, the signs of one is different from the science.
Let me just bridge this by saying, please speak to the producer offline, okay? Hello, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Speak to the producer offline. We do not consult or do anything of the sort over radio, okay? Otherwise, some people will think, please listen to me, kindly, respectfully. Speak to the producer, give your details, and I'll see what I can do to follow up. We don't do this over radio. I'm sorry. I will not do that. So we'll get your specific details. Otherwise, somebody too will say it is not coming, and they said this to this person. So kindly, respectfully, speak to my producer off air, and then we can take that up. I hope you understand.
Yes, and the number is...
No, you stay on the line. You are on the line now. He will speak to you.
Okay.
And please be a bit more patient, okay? Right?
Okay.
It's not something we are going to solve over the phone right now, right?
Okay.
There may be other things involved. That is why Doc and I have said what we've said, okay?
Okay.
So please, right? There may be other reasons why you are not getting your results.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. All right. All right. 0302216541 Ultimate Health on Joy 99.7 FM.
Joy. And yeah, easy.
Sometimes I get calls after my show. You'd be amazed the pressure that I take. But some people are even trying to call Doc as we speak now. You're still on Ultimate Health, Ultimate Guide to Healthy Living. We're talking about Bentua. Okay, so we've taken the complications. Somebody wanted to know if there was a cure for piles, Doc.
Yes, we treat it. We treat piles.
Okay.
But first, you need to know what the person means by that.
Because exactly.
They tend to use the name piles for all kinds of conditions. So such a person should see a physician so that a determination will be made as to whether indeed it is piles or not.
Okay.
But yes, we have treatment. A lot of the times we manage it non-operatively.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But if it becomes too bad in a situation like those who bleed a lot.
Okay.
I mean, people who have bled to they even have shock.
Okay.
The people who have severe anemia, those we can find a way, we can solve those problems surgically.
Okay.
But
right.
Most of the time, we manage them conservatively.
Okay, that was from Michael in Kokomemle. I love the way you spell Kokomemle, Michael. But yes, we need to know we're talking about the same thing, right?
Yes,
or whatever
yes.
you are talking about. This one says, and people are sending their Valentine. all right. Doctor, I normally use it with a little warm water for constipation, but not regular. Is it safe?
It is safe.
Okay.
It is safe.
All right. This is from somebody in Ekropong, Ekwepim. Okay. This one is also about Valentine, I think. Oh, why are these ones coming here? All right. What should you do and not do to prevent this cancer, apart from being careful with the Bentua concoction?
Oh, it's a whole new discussion.
Now, Doc, you have not intimated or suggested that the Bentua is related to the cancer.
No.
We talked about colonoscopy.
Yes.
Right? So please, whoever sent this, let's get it clear. Okay? Right?
There's no
otherwise,
link.
They'll say the doctor said that, if you know.
Yes.
So, but he's also asking what we should do, avoid, or do to prevent, I guess he's talking about the cancer of the colon.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there are, it's a, like, this, for that is a whole new discussion altogether.
All right.
Weight, the increasing weight, you know, the typical things that you tell people not drinking, excessive drinking, smoking, you know, constipation in itself has been noted to be a cause or the effect of a cancer. So I think that
those are general.
They are general things. Uh-huh. But I think because, you know, you remember when I mentioned something about colonoscopy, somebody is using it to refer to something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for now, let's just stick to...
Okay, let's play safe. All right, we'll make time and get a doc or another professional to speak on those specific issues.
Specific
all right,
issues.
What should we do? Okay, well, I've read that. I have another caller on the line. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine.
Your line is a bit bad. Who am I speaking to?
I'm Queen.
Queen?
Yes.
Okay, there's some interference in the line. Are you outside?
Yes.
Okay, try and ask your question quickly, but I think the wind or something. Right, go ahead, Queen.
Okay, last year I was having a problem with my stomach. I don't go to toilet treatment for about 1 month. So I admitted to the hospital. They gave me black juice, but then
you were admitted last year, right?
Yeah,
you were a bit for a month.
Birthday.
Yes, and you said they gave you drugs.
Yeah.
But it didn't work.
Yeah.
Okay.
How old is she?
How old are you?
I'm 16.
You are 16. Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously you were discharged from hospital. You're back home, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is still there?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So her youth makes it very important.
Okay. A young person with problems constipation.
There is a genetic problem, or should I say a structural problem that is usually associated with the development of the rectum.
Okay.
called Hirschsprung's disease.
Okay.
I'm not alluding to the fact that she has that.
Okay.
But because of how young she is, there are some people who tend to develop an adult onset type.
Okay.
We have a way of questioning that makes us helps us to make a diagnosis of this disease.
Okay.
And also inspect, examine.
Examination and all that.
So this person should not be seen in a district hospital. He should be referred.
Referred to a specialist?
Yeah. So she should go back to that hospital and tell them that whatever treatment they offered her is not working. So they should refer. I mean, really, it's not the patient that is supposed to make that inference.
Right.
But if you manage somebody for a disease and the person is not getting well, is the natural process is to just let the person be referred. 99.7. Right. So she should bring a referral and we'll continue the treatment.
So, Queen, please, I guess you're off the line now. I would have loved you to speak to my producer. Today I have Chris Piquet as my producer. Ziggy has taken leave. Without me, all right? But Chris Piquet is here, so if we get those details. But Doc Dudono is saying that go back to the hospital, tell them you still have this persistent constipation. For your age, he's a bit concerned and would want to ask and examine many areas, right? But do that at your hospital, okay? 030-221-6541. Those lines are still active. They are not constipated. I don't think so.
Joy.
Right? WhatsApp. WhatsApp is getting a bit constipated. Let me just see if I can clear. What do I have? Okay. Right. Okay. WhatsApp is clear as well, Doc. The Bentua is refusing the closure of its file. The file is refusing to close. It's opening into other areas. What I would like you to do, since we are getting into those other things anyway, acute abdomen. When we say this, I thought it should be acute abdominal something, but I realized there is a condition. Exactly, acute abdomen. What is it?
Yes, so for a surgical standpoint, that's a sudden onset of severe abdominal pain.
A sudden onset of severe
abdominal pain.
Okay. Yes. When you rate or grade pain, it seems to be a very important classification.
Yes.
When we talk about pain, how strong, severe, mild, and so on. When you say a sudden onset of severe abdominal pain,
it's still subjective. The patient has to tell you that.
All right.
And of course, we use various skills to make that assessment. For children, you may use a facial expression.
Okay.
But for adults, you associate it with number.
Okay.
And a few times we will say, which pain has been the worst in your life? Okay. Some will tell you that childbirth,
Okay.
And then you can relate it
to that pain.
The kind of pain they are having.
Okay.
So it's usually a surgical emergency.
Okay.
It's also a medical emergency, depending on the situation. But for us surgeons, when a patient presents with acute abdomen, we are worried.
Okay.
We can say acute abdomen secondary to something.
Okay.
And for us, immediately you bring it up, your mind starts racing as to what exactly should be the problem.
What is causing it?
Because most of the surgical conditions that result in acute abdominal pain are readily treatable.
Okay.
But barring that, can result in catastrophic consequences.
Okay.
So if you have a typical example, the very common one is appendicitis.
Right.
And they'll come with abdominal pain that is moved to the right side.
Right.
Periambolic, like some will say, centrally located, that eventually moved to the right side.
I love those words. They're periambilical.
Yes. I was going to say that, but I had to stop because...
You had to stop. I know. I've been reading. Right, so around the navel.
Which then moves to the right side.
Okay.
It's a mechanism of the pain that makes it behave that way.
Okay.
And that gives us a very good inkling as to what kind of pain it is.
Okay.
When you tell us that, we ask you a few questions and we examine you.
Mm-hmm.
And when we examine you, we will touch the place gently. It's not that the doctor is wicked, but we are trying to elicit the nature of the pain so that we can prefer a treatment for
it.
Okay.
Other problems could be just epigastric pain, like those who have gastritis or peptic ulcer disease,
right,
that have pain here.
Okay.
And the worst form of that would be when it's perforated, when the stomach perforates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's dangerous because the stomach has a lot of acid in it.
Right.
And that starts burning your peritoneal cavity inside your abdomen. You know, so the pain is so excruciating that sometimes you don't even want to move the abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there are so many other causes.
Right.
You have typhoid perforation. I mean, perforation of any of your intestine can result in that amount of that kind of pain.
Okay, let me backpedal as if you're riding a bike, folks. But backpedal. So, onset of acute, severe abdominal pain. Last week, you taught us and specified where the abdomen is.
Mm.
Okay. So we're talking about pain in this region from below what your...
The nipple line.
Nipple line.
To the groin.
To your groin.
Yes.
All that...
So it's a very big space.
It's a big space.
Yeah.
Okay. I was reading up, Doc, because I knew we'd talk about this. There was an abbreviation called Socrates.
Socrates,
which
yeah.
looks at the site, the onset, and many other parts. So just even knowing where the pain is located or maybe restricted tells you something about the possibility.
So for that acronym is good for a physician.
A physician, right.
So that it can give you a kind of a bird's eye view exactly what diagnosis you are trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And pain is a very important symptom that helps us, physicians,
mm-hmm.
to point to exactly what the problem
what
is.
The
As you mentioned, the space is a very big space.
Big space.
So the site of the pain, the onset of the pain,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether there are relations to that pain.
Right. Is it related to food?
Food.
Lying down, posture,
exactly,
etc. Does it move?
Does it move?
Right? Does something relieve it?
All these help us to come to that conclusion that this is likely to be the problem. Because most of the diseases usually have happened before. And through the stories that we've heard over the years, it has been able to help us narrow down on which one may be the cause of that problem. And so that's why we use that, so that we don't miss out on exactly what we are looking for.
Right.
Uh-huh. So that's just to help us be a bit meticulous so that we don't miss out.
For our listeners, we're talking about the onset of severe pain in your abdominal area that we've defined, okay? And it may be related to many antecedents
many
or causes,
things.
Okay?
Many
but acute abdomen refers to that onset of severe pain. I have a caller on the line. Hello? Hello. Hey, I'm very jealous. So when you call, you must talk to only me. Hello. Okay. A person speaking to somebody else. Okay. Try and call again. Are they still on the line? Nope. Okay. Right. Please ask doctor the name of the balloon-like thing that comes out of the anus when some people pass out stool. It looks big. It killed a friend of mine.
Oh, it's not the cause of the friend's death.
Yeah.
Those are hemorrhoids. We you know, so somebody talked about piles.
Yeah.
They are synonymous. So
hemorrhoids.
Mm-hmm. Hemorrhoids. They are actually supposed to be normal tissues in the anus or rectum.
They're not supposed to come out.
They are not supposed to come out. They're supposed to be inside.
There's something that holds it in place.
In place. The one of my professors would say is the brain of the inner region.
Okay.
So that when you want to pass gas,
mm-hmm.
you are able to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Norte, have you imagined it yourself?
Why are you asking me questions? it has to do with passing gas.
You know, if you are going to pass gas.
Yeah.
It's fluid, isn't it?
Right.
It's a kind of fluid.
Yeah.
If you want to pass fecal matter, which is also liquid, it's a kind of fluid.
Okay.
But you are able to tell the difference between
hopefully
that gas.
Hopefully.
Oh, everybody's able
hopefully
to.
It doesn't deceive.
So the hemorrhoids are actually very important.
Okay.
That's why I say that we mostly manage it conservatively.
All right.
Until it's really causing a problem.
Okay.
So that protrusion the person has,
mm-hmm.
we will assess it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have various grades of classifying these hemorrhoids.
Okay.
If, of course, I don't know whether it will be the right place to discuss that, but we are able to tell which kind of hemorrhoid you have and then manage it accordingly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I hope you've understood whatever protrudes. But Doc, just add a little. So it means It shouldn't protrude.
It shouldn't protrude.
So it's a kind of a prolapse?
It is a kind of a prolapse, yes.
All right. Recently, I had a friend whose daughter had a vaginal prolapse of sorts. Okay.
Yeah, how old?
She's under 7, I think.
Are you sure it's not a urethral prolapse?
Sorry, I said vaginal. I think it was urethral or vaginal. Something came up.
Urethral. Because the common one is the urethral.
Yeah, initially, because she came from school, mm-hmm. and later in the evening, her underwear was soiled
with
a bit of fluid and stuff, and I think a little bleeding.
Yes.
Then I queried, because, of course, many things can happen in school.
That thing has sent people to jail.
Yes. Okay. And so we queried possible, you know, sexual, you know, tampering with the child and so on and so forth. They got to Ridge Hospital and other hospitals. Mm. But then, yes, there was a prolapse of sorts.
Mm.
Okay. So in this case with the hemorrhoids,